You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, Prime Minister Mark Carney is set to announce his new cabinet today, and newly minted MPs from across the country are headed to Ottawa to be sworn in. The 45th Parliament isn't set to resume until May 26th, but there is much business to attend to until then. Skeena Buckley Valley will be getting a new MP following Conservative MP-elect Ellis Ross's win over the NDP's Taylor Bacharach after 20 years with an NDP representative in the House of Commons for Northwest BC. The NDP took a big hit to their party this past election, left with only 7 seats, down from 25 in the House of Commons. Even their former leader, Jagmeet Singh, didn't win his seat. For many, what comes next, not only for the wounded federal NDP, but for all new MPs that are headed to Ottawa for the first time, and how Parliament gets set to govern, is usually a mystery. However, today we speak with political insider and former NDP MP and MLA for Northwest BC, Nathan Cullen, who sheds light on where the political path for Canada may be going. Stay with us. So we have with us Nathan Cullen, longtime MP, former MP of Skeena Buckley Valley. Nathan, you've been watching the federal election pretty closely. I guess at this point, you know, what's kind of your overall view? We saw a slight change. There's still a Liberal minority government, but, you know, the NDP lost quite a number of seats. And obviously here in Skeena Buckley Valley, we saw a flip of a long-held NDP riding. What's your take on what happened on Monday night?
Well, for me, so often the political is also the personal. And the NDP had a really tough election. The Liberals were returned as a minority parliament again, but we lost some incredible people in the top of the list. Folks like Taylor Bacharach, who was just this amazing MP who did so much for so many people, caring and smart and all those good things that you want. And it's just a tough loss, and it happens in politics. It's a brutal game sometimes that, you know, through no fault of his work, certainly, voters wanted to go another way, and voters are always right. Across the country, there was a real consolidation, an election that was dominated by the shadow of Mr. Trump and all his threats to our country. And we've not really seen an election like this where it became a two-horse race in so many places. And the NDP had a hard time getting into that conversation and took the hit.
Yeah. You know, as of late, we've been seeing the support for the NDP wither across the country a bit, and a lot of those voters, it looks like, went to the Liberals. Do you feel that, you know, having three progressive, including the Greens, but two major progressive parties split the progressive vote when it comes down to a situation like this?
Not entirely sure that's what happened. I think the question of two things. One is folks were very afraid of Mr. Trump on one side, and were very unsure with Mr. Poilievre, and his approach to politics was too similar, I think, in some ways, even if the policies were different. And on the other side, supporting Mr. Poilievre was a lot of frustration with government, cost of living, just the difficulty in getting by, questions around immigration, like all of that mixed into frustration on one side, fear on the other. And when that happens, you get an election result like this. I think this is a moment in time. I'm very confident the NDP will build back. We've had tough losses like this before, but counting the party out is a mistake, and we'll be looking for a new leader and new prospects right away. And that's as it should be.
Yeah, you know, it's on one hand, it seems like exciting times because it sounds like opening a new chapter for a party like the NDP moving forward and what can happen with that. When we look at the Skeena-Bulkley Valley, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we've definitely seen an increase in population in yeah. the region itself, which yeah. in turn, you know, there's about 6,000 more electorates in yeah. registered in the Skeena-Bulkley Valley. You know, looking at some of the numbers, the conservative vote here broke some barriers. You know, they've always been around that 36%, you know, about 13,000 and change in terms of votes. But this time they broke that by quite a bit. And even Taylor Bachrach, you know, received more votes than he got last time. What yeah. do you think is going on here in Skeena-Bulkley Valley to have a result like that?
Well, and Liberals came up a bit, which was disappointing in the sense that they weren't really running a serious campaign. But again, people watch and hear the national news and so think maybe in that case voting Liberal was important to stop Mr. Polyev, which in the Northwest, it makes no sense at all. That's not the way we're built. We'll have to take a look through what happened and how has the riding changed, what's going on with people's interests and worries. We're affected by those same concerns, whether it be Donald Trump in the South or cost of living and trying to get by. It's housing and everything else has become very expensive where we live. I think that a prosperity agenda for the NDP would be really positive. It's talking about, you know, how to make the economy actually work for everybody. There's a lot of wealthy people getting wealthier these days, like beyond wealthy, incredibly wealthy. Mm-hmm. While the vast majority of us just struggle to make ends meet. So, yeah, again, we'll sit down with our teams. And I like, the campaign was incredible. Like, the number of volunteers, the amount of door knocking, like, that was the best campaign I think we've ever run in Skeena. And I'm sure someone could correct me, but, you know, that's positive. The other interesting thing is that in Ottawa, the NDP are going to hold the balance of power again. And so what does the party do with that as it searches for a new leader and gets a new vision? It is incredibly disappointing, and you can't, you know, skip over that. You also know that people need that progressive voice because there's such days that we live in. Dan, you know, these are going to be some trying times. I think Donald Trump's looking to maximize the pain that we suffer in the next little bit, and that's going to affect people, losing jobs. Cost of living is going to go up even more because of his tariffs. That's real. And we need to be standing there for people. We can only lick our wounds so long, and then we just got to get back on with the job of trying to build a better Canada.
Yeah. Just the last thing for you, Nathan. You know, this was an interesting election, to say the least. We saw two federal party leaders lose their seats with Pierre Polyev and obviously Jagmeet Singh resigning. What comes next, you know, for, you know, the leadership races of two of the major parties and especially for the NDP? What's next?
Yeah, first on the Conservatives, I'm not convinced they're going to have a leadership race. Sounds like Mr. Polyev is going to try to stick around. We'll see. There's a lot of upset folks, but we'll see what happens in the blue team. For the NDP, picking an interim leader, so someone from the caucus, most likely, to represent things. And then the party will have to strike a leadership race. So hopefully it's one that's not super long, that excites a lot of people, because the job description is not bad. Like, yes, it's a rebuilding exercise. Yes, it's going to be a lot of work. But for the next foreseeable future, likely holding the balance of power and helping guide Canada through what's next. And I think some pretty formidable folks are going to step forward. So that all gets going to get going right away. That can't be something that you think about for 8 months before you launch. That'll, I suspect, happen quite soon.
Okay, Nathan, we'll leave it there for now, but thanks so much. We always enjoy getting your perspective and insight.
I appreciate it, Dan. Thanks for persisting. I'm glad you were able to connect.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada.
You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.